What you really want to think about, especially in the context of health and fitness, are what are the daily habits and behaviors that are contributing to your healthy lifestyle, rather than looking specifically at a number on the scale or a specific outcome measure that you are trying to achieve. Because it's in the process that you're going to make the small changes that are going to make this sustainable and allow you to consistently follow those habits over time.
My name is Leigh Farnison. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast. I'm your host, Leif Arneson, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Daphne Bascom. And this is going to be a really fun conversation because we're talking about one of our all-time favorite books, our top takeaways from the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. So one of the key goals of our coaching program in the Vegan Superhero Academy is to help our clients implement lifestyle changes and adopt behaviors that will help them to meet their goals. But there's obviously behavior change is hard, and we want to make it as easy as possible to adopt and maintain awesome habits. These are kind of the top takeaways that we've gotten from really the number one book in this category, which is Atomic Habits. So we're going to share what we've learned from Atomic Habits and how we've applied that into our own lives to help us to change behavior in the face of the fact that behavior change is hard. So for those of you who have read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, you are familiar with his approach to habit formation. And this is a book that I've read many times. Daphne, I know you've read this many times as well. And we're actually reading it as part of our team book club. So we have a book club at the Vegan Gym, and we're reading this as part of that book club. So Daphne, you want to kick things off by sharing the Atomic Habits framework and sparking the conversation?
Yes. Atomic Habits, the framework is founded on 4 laws of behavior change, and each is key to creating a new habit or to dissolving an unfavorable one. And what James Clear outlines as the 4 laws is make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and make it satisfying.
Awesome. Well, we have been talking a lot about Atomic Habits recently on some team calls, and also we're reading this book as a team. So really excited to jump in and share our top takeaways. So these are in no particular order, but we've got our top 9 takeaways, and we're going to kick them off with number 1, which is the power of small habits. So you want to share some of your thoughts on that?
So James Clear emphasizes the importance of focusing on small incremental changes rather than trying to overhaul your entire lifestyle overnight. It will just fail. So small changes will lead to significant results. And the key is applying these small changes to the areas of your life where they will have the most impact.
Awesome.
So how have you done it?
Yeah, so I really love the 2-minute rule that James Clear talks about. And it's a very simple idea. The 2-minute rule states that when you start a new habit, it should take you less than 2 minutes to do. So that makes habits really bite-sized, and it makes it really easy to say yes to these new habits. So one of my personal goals for 2024 is to practice Norwegian and drums for 5 minutes per day. And I've almost been 100% consistent with this because I have made these habits really too easy to say no to, which has been hugely helpful for me. So as I said, the 2-minute rule states when you start a new habit, it should take you less than 2 minutes to do. And I'm using a 5-minute rule instead of a 2-minute rule because these weren't entirely new habits, but obviously the same concept applies, whether it's a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And you'll find that nearly any habit can be scaled down into a 2-minute version. So reading before bed every single night becomes read one page. Do 30 minutes of yoga becomes take out my yoga mats, and study for class becomes open my notes, fold the laundry becomes fold 1 pair of socks, run 3 miles becomes tie my running shoes. We are looking to make these habits really small and easy to do. So the idea is to make your habits as easy as possible to start. Anybody can meditate for 1 minute. Anybody can read one page or put away one item of clothing. And I think it's important to understand that motivation often comes after starting an activity, not before. And we often think that motivation is something that we need to have before we start doing the work or before we start doing habits, but motivation actually will come as a result of doing some small bit of work. So the motivation needed to complete a habit is at its peak at the beginning of a behavior. So that's why we want to make it so easy that you can't say no. So how do we make our habits so easy that we can't say no? For me, I'm setting something like a 5-minute goal to run through and practice Norwegian.
And you can do that with any habit. So break it down into its component parts and apply the 2-minute rule or the 5-minute rule if it's a habit that you've already been using for some time, but make sure it's easy. And once you actually start, then the motivation will come to keep going.
Yeah. All right. Number 2 is make your habits specific. So you want to share about that?
Yeah. So in Atomic Habits, James Clear suggests that being specific about the habits you want to develop. So instead of setting vague goals, which I think we often see as coaches, where I want to lose weight or I want to run, you need to be specific. So I want to eat a healthy breakfast every day, or I want to exercise 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week. Make your habits specific, because by making them specific, you make them actionable and much easier to follow. And we'll talk about later, much easier to measure.
Yeah, when I create goals, I always make sure, or pretty much always make sure, that they have a number and always have a clear deadline. So all of my goals either have a number, which is most of them, or they are binary. Either you did it or you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing ambiguous, like I want to lose weight. Because if you lose 1 pound over a year, technically you accomplish your goal, but that's probably not the actual goal that you really had, which was more clear. So that's a really kind of classic example. It's something that we see a lot. So instead of saying, I want to lose weight, you can say something like, I will lose 15 pounds by August 1st by following my nutrition plan, resistance training 3 times a week, and hitting at least 8,000 steps per day. If you have something really clear and specific, that will make it far more likely that you actually are able to accomplish it.
And actually, you just outlined SMART goals too, but there you go.
Yeah. So there, you want to run through SMART goals?
So a SMART goal is a goal that is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound.
Yeah. So it's kind of following the same framework, but I always make sure that I have a clear kind of deadline and also have a number associated with that. All right. So the third easy way to make habits stick is to implement habit stacking. So I'm really passionate about this. You want to tell us what habit stacking is?
Habit stacking involves attaching a new habit to an existing one. So if you're trying to build a new habit, attach it to something that you already do consistently. And we can think of easy ones: brushing your teeth, getting your coffee ready in the morning, setting your clothes out the night before so that you can be ready for the run. But this strategy allows you to reinforce a new habit by aligning it with something that you already do. So you're stacking.
Yeah. So one example of this is when I make my morning smoothie. So I have been having a big 1/2 gallon morning smoothie for the better part of the past year, and pretty much have had it every single day. The only exceptions have been a few times when I've been traveling and I haven't had a Vitamix available, and it's just been, you know, kind of too difficult to make it. So when I make my morning smoothie, I also have been getting a handful of walnuts and my vitamins while the smoothie is blending. And then I have all of those together. So I eat walnuts because they are the healthiest nut. They're the main one that Dr. Greger recommends for a multitude of reasons, specifically longevity. And the dietary fat in walnuts also helps to absorb fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K. So that's a way where I'm stacking habits that not just help me to stack the behavior of these habits, but also are kind of complementary habits because they help with vitamin absorption, for example. So that's one example of how I stack habits. Another example is I'm really always listening to audiobooks or podcasts. So I do this when I'm in the shower. I do this when I'm in the car. I also do this whenever I'm cooking or cleaning around the house. I'm always listening to something because it's always an opportunity to learn. And I love listening to music, but I really kind of exclusively do that in the gym. Even when I'm working, I don't think you could call what I listen to music. I don't think most people would call that music. It's basically sound. Basically just sound. It's this, if you look up ADHD study playlist or something like that, you'll see some examples of videos that I'll listen to. And they're just, you open it up, it's like a 10-hour long video and I'll just listen to the whole thing. And it's basically the same thing just on repeat. I don't know what, there's another kind of form of this called, what is it, binaural beats or something?
I don't know the answer to that.
Forget what it's called. But there's, I don't know what the exact kind of, I don't know exactly how you would describe this, but it's basically, yeah, as you said, just kind of sound. So that's another example. What are some examples that you implement in your life when it comes to habit stacking?
I have a lot of habit stacking. So one of them is putting on my gym clothes as soon as I get out of bed. So get out of bed, my gym clothes are sitting right there, pop them on. I stack doing 20 push-ups every morning with doing my pre-run stretching, my prehab. And in fact, I will back up in my routine knowing that I forgot to do something if I haven't done it. The other one that I have stacked pretty consistently, at least when I'm home, is my wind down routine, which is usually a warm shower. If I either alternate that with getting in my higher dose bed, depending on what time of night it is, then I'll put my legs up the wall and I will turn the lights down. But all of those stack together as part of me getting ready to go to bed at night.
So the higher dose bed, is that a sauna?
A sauna blanket.
Yeah, a sauna blanket. Do you do that every day?
I wish I could. No. Whenever I have usually like a Friday, Saturday, I'll jump in it before I go to bed.
I actually have one, and honestly, I've only used it a few times because it does take some, I don't know, it sounds silly, but it takes some setup and like you're supposed to wipe it down afterwards and all of that. So that's an example of a positive habit that for me, I guess I just need to get better about structuring that into my schedule in a way where it's going to be super easy to do. Like I have the area that I keep my sauna blanket, and then I have, I don't know, a towel to wipe it down that I keep next to it or whatever. Like how do I actually design my environment so it's not like right now it's just in a closet.
Uh-huh.
So then I would need to go take it out of the closet, yep. Bring it over, find where am I going to put this? Okay, I guess I can put it on my bed. Got to wipe it down afterwards. So anyways, yeah, how do you make things as easy as possible to do them? So that's another good example. And then did you cover your morning meal prep?
No, every morning, well, I won't even call it morning meal prep. Every morning I set out my meals for the day. One, that just makes it easy to make the right choice, but I tie that to taking my vitamins. So I've stacked taking my vitamins with doing my morning meal assembly, I'll call it. It's not really prepping.
Prepping a little bit, maybe not the traditional kind of meal prep, but it's getting prepared for the day. All right, the fourth way to make habits stick is to focus on identity-based habits. This is a really great one. You want to explain what that means?
So James Clear argues that true behavior change comes from a shift in your identity or your self-image. So instead of saying, I want to lose weight, you need to adopt an identity-based approach that says, I am someone who prioritizes my health and I make healthy choices. And this shift in how you think is very important because that identity change makes it more likely that those changes are going to be sustainable and lasting, and it will align with your, not only your goals, but your self-perceptions of who you are and who you aspire to be.
This is super powerful. I'm a big proponent of identity and getting clear on who you want to be and letting your actions follow that identity. So a really powerful example of this in Atomic Habits, where James Clear writes, imagine two people resisting a cigarette. When offered a smoke, the first person says, no thanks, I'm trying to quit. It sounds like a reasonable response, but this person still believes that they're a smoker who is trying to be something else. They are hoping their behavior will change while carrying around the same beliefs. The second person declines by saying, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker." It's a small difference, but this statement signals a shift in identity. Smoking was part of their former life, not their current one. They say they no longer identify as someone who smokes. So every single time that second person rejects a cigarette by saying, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker," he's reinforcing this new identity. He's reinforcing the new habits as well that are associated with this new identity, which is not being a smoker. So I think that's a really powerful example, and the same thing can apply to really anything that you want to change. All right, the fifth easy way to make habits stick is to design your environment for laziness. So how can we design our environment such that the default action, the lazy behavior, is a better choice? I absolutely love this one. This is something that I'm working to just implement more and more into my life. Designing my environment to make it super easy. I want to make it as easy as possible to say yes to the habits that are serving me and align with my goals. So one kind of simple example of this that doesn't really have to do with my kind of normal environment, but maybe that also can make it a little bit more powerful, because this doesn't just need to happen in your own environment. It can also happen in other environments that you spend time in. So I visited my family over the holidays, and I was there for Christmas, and my mom made some of this amazing Chex Mix over the holidays, and it was by far like the best Chex Mix I've ever had. In fact, when it first came out of the oven, it's also warm, which is just, if you haven't had warm homemade Chex Mix, that's pretty hard to beat. So that Chex Mix, she made a heck of a lot of it too. And it just sat right on the counter for a week.
Danger.
And a few times a day, every single time I'm walking by it in the kitchen, I would just open it up and grab a little small handful. And this likely amounted to a few hundred extra calories every single day. Then one day I took the Chex Mix and I put it on top of the cabinet instead of just right there on the counter. So I take it, I put it on top of the cabinet, and it's out of reach for me. So I had to do like a little jump up to place it on the top of the cabinet. And then guess what? I still had the desire to eat Chex Mix every time I thought about it. Every single time I walked by it in the kitchen, I knew it was up there, but that would, if I actually wanted to eat it, it would mean that I'd have to go get a chair. I'd have to bring it over to the counter. I'd have to get up on that chair and then grab the Chex Mix, bring it down. That was just enough of a hurdle to keep me from mindlessly snacking on Chex Mix. And that is an example of designing for laziness. So the lazy behavior is, every single time I walk by this Chex Mix, I just open it up, have a little bit. It's not that much, it's a small handful, but then you do it 17 times in a day and
it adds up.
That's a heck of a lot of Chex Mix. So that is a lazy behavior, and it's not something that most people are immune to. Normally, I am very on top of my nutrition, and that's typically not a hurdle for me. But having some salty snacks, that's really kind of my kryptonite, is some kind of salty snacks, whether it's tortilla chips or some really good pretzels or some Chex Mix, whatever. So that's kind of one thing that I do struggle with. So the way that I can design for laziness is by just not having it easily accessible. And this is very similar to the law of grocery carts, which is a principle that I developed when I was writing my first book. And I explain in that book how I was really kind of addicted, I think is the right word, to peanut butter Clif bars. And like the peanut butter, or is it the chunky peanut butter Clif bars, I think is their name. I haven't had one for a few years now, but I used to just go through boxes of these.
Really?
And I would just decimate them. And because they're such an easy, convenient snack, and I kind of convinced myself, I think, that like Clif Bars are super healthy or something. But I don't know, learned a little bit. Not that they're particularly unhealthy. It's just, it's
there are other options.
Yeah, yeah, there are maybe preferable options. So anyways, I would just eat tons and tons of these Clif Bars. And then one day I was in the grocery store and I'm walking by the energy aisle, and I would always turn into the energy aisle and go grab these Clif Bars. But instead of doing that, I just walked by the aisle. In fact, I like didn't even look over at the Clif Bars. Didn't want to have to resist their magnetic pull. So I just kept walking. And then guess what? I went home and I didn't have any Clif Bars. There were no Clif Bars in the kitchen or in the pantry. And guess what? I didn't have any Clif Bars that entire week. And it's so simple, but that is a really powerful way that I have designed my life for laziness. And I think that's a big reason why it's easy for me to stay consistent with my nutrition, because I don't buy a bunch of crap and bring it home. So I don't really even have the option to eat Chex Mix whenever. Like if I went out and I bought Chex Mix and tortilla chips and peanut butter Clif Bars, if I went and bought all these and brought them home, that would be a substantial part of my diet. But I don't do that because I know that it's going to cause me to get off track,
right,
and eat things that don't align with my goals. So I want to design for the lazy behavior, the lazy choices. And the way to do that is by designing your environment in a way where the lazy choice is actually the healthy choice. So that's something that I've really worked to adopt. What about you? Does Daphne have any nutrition vices?
Oh, of course. I think we probably talked about the peanut butter one. Now, I mean, the peanut butter kryptonite is gone. I don't really crave it anymore. But at the time I kept it in the trunk of my car. So if I purchased it, if it made it into my grocery cart, it didn't come into the house, because then I had to intentionally leave my house, go to the car to get the peanut butter. So I set up my environment to making the easy choice the default, which was not to get the peanut butter jar out with a spoon. But the other one that you mentioned with the higher dose blanket, I don't know if you remember. So I have it out all the time. I have the blanket out. I've got the spray out. I've got the towel out. So I literally trip over it every time I go into my living room, because it's there. So I know that when I go toward the end of the evening, one of the things I do that's my habit, I actually turn it on to warm it up if I'm going to use it. But I've made it easy so that I don't have to go to the closet and pull it out. I've set up the environment so that I can use that as part of my regular wind down routine.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, that is a super powerful tip that I've gotten from Atomic Habits that has really had a substantial positive impact in my life. So the sixth easy way to make habits stick is to utilize the power of habit cues and rewards. So Daphne, can you tell us what this is?
I can. And this, it reminds me of actually training a puppy.
So I think when you really get to like the fundamentals of the human brain, it's pretty similar to
a puppy. So habits are often triggered by cues and followed by rewards. So by understanding and manipulating these cues and rewards, you can shape your habits in ways that support your goals, just like you do with the puppy. For example, you can place healthy snacks at eye level in your kitchen as a cue and reward yourself with a non-food related treat, such as a healthy relaxing bath, your higher dose blanket, or just a walk in the evening, for adhering to what you planned as your nutrition plan for that day. It really is looking for cues to act on your behavior, but then rewarding yourself subsequent to that for actually making the right choice.
So the one example of how I implement this in my daily routine is that the last 3 hours of my day are dedicated to winding down and setting my next day up for success. Mm-hmm. So first thing when I get up in the morning, I'm heading to the gym and I'm diving right into work. So the last 3 hours of my day are really, that's my kind of chill time. That's my time to set my next day up for success. So the habit cue here is a clear cutoff time, which is 5:30 p.m. And by that time, I have now spent 10 hours working, and I kind of get some rewards from putting in that effort and crushing my day. So the rewards would be I'm creating my priority list for the following day. I'm enjoying dinner with my girlfriend. I'm taking a walk. I'm enjoying some wind down time spent practicing drums, doing Duolingo for Norwegian, watching a show on Netflix and or reading a book, listening to an audiobook, something like that. And regarding kind of building on the book, I'm also going through a fiction series right now, which I read when I get into bed. So I have no screens for the last 30 minutes before bed. This is something that I'm working to increase. Ideally, I'd like to get to about an hour. But I went through and I actually ordered a handful of different series of books. And I started reading each, like the first book in all these series. And I found one that I really enjoyed. So now I have something to look forward to. I have something that kind of pulls me into bed because that's what I read when I'm in bed. So it's almost like I have a reward for going to bed. I mean, it kind of sounds silly, but that's actually helped me to get to bed and do that at an earlier time. So yeah, those are some examples of how I've harnessed the power of habit cues and rewards and try to train myself like a puppy.
And it works. I mean, it's the same way I think we were talking about this with our momentum group, where if you restrict, you know, my favorite podcast, I can only listen to it while I'm on my run. So there's incentive to lace up the shoes, go on the run, because I want to listen to the podcast. So they're very easy ways to implement this in your life.
That's another great example. All right, the seventh easy way to make habits stick is to emphasize the process over the outcome. So what do we mean by this, Stephanie?
So in Atomic Habits, James Clear highlights the importance of focusing on the process and not fixating on the result. So I think the human brain, we are laser focused on getting to that result. Whereas what you really want to think about, especially in the context of health and fitness, are what are the daily habits and behaviors that are contributing to your healthy lifestyle, rather than looking specifically at a number on the scale or a specific outcome measure that you are trying to achieve. Because it's in the process that you're going to make the small changes that are going to make this sustainable and allow you to consistently follow those habits over time. So a good example in, you know, not just weight loss, but even I have an example from running. If I know if I'm training for a race, I'm not looking at the time. I'm looking at showing up every day, putting in the miles, putting on the shoes, even on the days when I don't want to or maybe don't feel great, using the 5-minute rule, but getting out there and doing it, not necessarily in many ways, I've won the race if I get to the race, if I get to the starting line. So that's where I see that easy way to make a habit stick, practical and lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a wonderful example. And that is how you feel when you line up on the start line of a race, knowing that you have put in the work. Yeah, it's really just a matter of showing up, doing all the workouts, and you can just kind of continue breaking this down to smaller and smaller pieces. It's to get to the end goal of stepping on the start line of some race, you need to show up and do your workout every day. And within that workout, you need to do your warm-up routine, you need to do your actual workout and a cool-down routine maybe. And within the workout, you just need to do X number of sprints or a certain number of laps in a pool or whatever it is. Like, you can continue just dissecting your goals down into tiny habits that you just need to continue doing that are the process. Mm-hmm. And you focus on that instead of the outcome. Because I know as long as I put in all of these steps within all of these workouts, then I'm going to get to this road race and be ready to crush it. And the same thing goes with my schedule. So I know I spent a lot of time designing a schedule that I knew would create success and be 100% aligned with my goals. So I know that if I just show up every day and I follow my schedule and I practice all my habits, then success is basically guaranteed. I don't need to worry about, oh, am I going to be able to write this book, or am I not going to be able to, or is this outcome possible or is it not possible? I define what is the goal, and then I work backwards and say, what are the habits I need to be doing? What does my daily schedule need to look like to accomplish those end goals? And then I just show up and I do the work every day, knowing that the end goal, the end result is inevitable. It's essentially guaranteed as long as I show up and I put in the work every single workout or every single day. And I think there's a lot of freedom that comes from that, because then you don't need to hyper-focus on this big, lofty, audacious goal that maybe scares you all the time. You're focusing on, hey, this is a goal. I've distilled it down into little pieces, and now I just need to show up and do the little pieces. And that makes it easy.
Each one of those is digestible.
Exactly. All right. So number eight, the eighth easy way to make habits stick is to understand the limits and benefits of measurement. So we've already shared that we're both big data nerds. We love measuring, but why don't you share a little bit more about what this means?
So I want to start by sharing Goodhart's law, which says when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to become a good measure. So I am a data nerd, but just because you can measure something doesn't make it the most important thing on the path to your goal. And please, you have to remember that. You will hit different milestones. You'll have different measures along the way. You'll have, you know, the end measure is not the measure of your success. It's actually those little incremental milestones and those other ways to measure your progress, other ways to measure that you're on the pathway toward your goal that may be more impactful than that final measurement that you're trying to achieve. So, you know, running a sub 90 minute 10K, maybe that's a goal, but actually achieving all the workouts and hitting it out the park for every workout is going to be more impactful than just hitting that end result 6 months, 8 months down the line.
Yeah. And one quote that I've really been loving recently is the quote, the more ways you measure, the more ways you can win. So yes, there are some limits of measurement, but there are also lots of benefits of measurement. And I like to measure a lot of things to get a holistic picture of how my progress is within a particular area of my life. And I also find a lot of power in measurement because I can identify things that are going well and also identify opportunities for improvement. And if I just measure one thing, then it could either be telling me something that is empowering or kind of disempowering. And if I measure multiple things, then there are multiple different ways that I can win. And that can also help you to further refine your approach. All right. And number nine, the last easy way to make habits stick is to focus on the keystone habit. So a keystone habit is a routine or ritual that ripples into the rest of your life. It creates a cascade of good behavior, and that's exactly what a keystone habit is. So as an example of a keystone habit, I firmly believe that your day starts the night before, and I can set my day up for success by getting to bed at the right time and in the right environments. So it's cold, it's dark, I've got all the right inputs to ensure that I'm going to have a good night of sleep, or at least put me in the best possible position to have a good night of sleep, a restful night of sleep. And that helps to set my next day up for success. So sleep is huge for me, and that's just become more and more of a focus for me. And that's why I would consider it to be a keystone habit in my day. Another example of a keystone habit that's I kind of have in my life is working out first thing in the morning. So working out first thing in the morning, it helps wake me up. I start my day by doing, from my perspective, the hardest thing first. And I also often to struggle when it comes to focusing, and working out can help just keep me more calm and focused throughout the day as well. So if I do that first thing, then I guess it helps to burn some of the excess energy that I've got and helps me to just stay focused and calm throughout the day. And this also, this kind of leads into the first Keystone habit I mentioned, which is sleeping well, because working out also helps me to sleep better the following night. So it's kind of those Keystone habits kind of work together to really create success. And it's just kind of a loop that keeps building on itself. So yeah, it's really kind of hard for me to sleep without working out. It doesn't feel like I've actually finished my day if I haven't worked out. And I also tend to eat better because I want to get the most out of my training. So working out just creates this cascade of good behavior, this cascade of good habits that are built on the process of working out first thing in the morning. And same thing with sleep. So that creates a cascade of good behavior heading into the following day. What about you, Daphne? What would you say is a Keystone habit for you?
I would agree with both those. I haven't been so good with sleep lately, but exercise is a Keystone behavior for me, period. It sets me up for an awesome day. And if I don't work out, I don't feel right. So I have to do some movement, something. Doesn't have to be in a gym, but I need to move. And then I'm a really big proponent of the sleep. So that sleep and that wind down routine really frames how I show up the next day.
All right. And one kind of final bonus that I want to throw in that I have found to be really helpful, and I think is just a great overarching thing to keep in mind as you're working on implementing new behaviors and new habits into your life, is the concept of not breaking the chain. So it doesn't matter how quote unquote good the behavior is. So let's use writing as an example. It doesn't really matter how good your writing is on any given day. What matters is that you are not breaking the chain and you're continuing to do the habit on both the days where kind of all the stars are aligned and you're crushing it and feeling really great, as well as the days where I don't really feel like it and I don't feel like my output is really great right now, whether it's writing or anything else. So an example of this is Stephen King. He aims to show up and write 6 pages every single day. That's his threshold. That is his version of not breaking the chain. I'm going to show up every day and I'm going to write 6 pages every day, which he says takes him about 4 hours.
Wow.
So jump in, do 4 hours of writing. And I'm not sure exactly how he breaks that up throughout his day, but he writes 6 pages a day. And he says that that allows him to maintain a high level of output with all of the kind of tremendous novels that he's written and do that in a very kind of repeatable way.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean everything he writes is going to make it into a finished book, but he shows up every single day to not break the chain. And your main goal is to string together consistency. It's to string together consistent days. And all that really matters is that you stick to the behavior. So as an example in my life, most days I don't really feel like I have great workouts. Workouts I would define as being really fantastic. My body feels good. I'm hitting solid weight. Most days, it's not like that for me. And maybe you're different. Maybe other people feel differently, but that's how I kind of feel with my workouts. And I would say probably somewhere on the order of 10 to 20% of my workouts, I would consider to be great workouts. But I show up consistently so I don't break the chain. And I know that, hey, maybe only 2 out of 10 workouts are great, but if I don't show up those 8 times, I'm not going to be able to get the 2 times that I just crush it. So I know that if I show up consistently and I don't break the chain, then that is going to yield great results and help me to accomplish my goals. And one thing that I have found to be really beneficial when it comes to not breaking the chain is the 10-minute rule. So when you don't want to do your workout, just put 10 minutes on a timer and do it for 10 minutes. And this could be, it could even be at the start of when you're lacing up your shoes and getting ready for a run. So it takes you a few minutes to lace up your shoes and then you run for 7 minutes or whatever. Then if you want to stop after 10 minutes, you can do that. And it's still a big win because you did not break the chain. You kept building momentum with your training. And that is actually a huge win. And you need to recognize it as that. So even though not all my workouts are great, I'm showing up and I'm building that chain. I'm not breaking that chain because I'm showing up consistently. So you can implement something like the 10-minute rule to, especially if you're new to training and it's uncomfortable for you to do workouts or go to the gym or even do workouts at home or go out and do a run, walk, or whatever that is. You just set 10 minutes on a timer. It could even be 5 minutes. It could even be 2 minutes. You set a timer and just say, hey, I'm going to do it for this amount of time. And then if you want to stop afterwards, that's totally fine. You have showed up and continued building that chain. And that is a huge win. Now, obviously, if your workouts are all 30 minutes long, you don't want to show up and consistently do just the first 5 minutes of all those workouts. You're not really going to actually make progress over the long term. But the main point here is on the difficult days, on the days that you really don't want to do it, just show up and put in those 5 minutes. And if you want to stop after, or 10 minutes, whatever it is, and then if you want to stop after you have already done that, then you can still chalk it up as a win because you have not broken the chain.
Absolutely.
All right. That
were 10 tips, not 9 tips.
Yes. Yeah. You got a little bonus tip. All right. So do you have any kind of last thoughts or parting words?
I do. So, and I think you actually framed it up very well. Remember that change takes time and consistency is key. So don't break the chain. Try as hard as possible not to break the chain. And it's important to understand that this journey, this change journey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you can't feel like you can make, I mean, I think people listening to what you did with your schedule may feel that you did all of this in one day, but you invested a significant amount of time and effort, and it's been incremental change getting to where you want it to be. And your success hinges on those incremental changes. So those tiny little things that you do every day will add up to bigger changes over time. So small changes, big shifts. So keep in mind that the journey toward change may not always be easy, but with perseverance and commitment, you can make lasting improvements in your life. So thanks everyone for listening today, and we will catch you on the next episode.
To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to theVeganGym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at theVeganGym.com.